Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of The Complete Works. I am your host, Doug Hess. If you're tuning into The Complete Works for the first time, we welcome you. What I do here on this podcast is discuss a specific movie from a film actor, actress, director, or composer's film history. Currently, we're working our way through the Nicolas Cage films, and in this episode of The Complete Works, I'm going to be discussing the movie Inconceivable, starring Nicolas Cage, that was released back in 2017. If you'd like to find out more about The Complete Works podcast, you can go to film-book.com. Again, that's film-book.com. By using the search term The Complete Works, you can also email us here at The Complete Works. Our email address is podcast@film-book.com. Again, that's podcast@film-book.com. With The Complete Works in the subject line, you can also put in Inconceivable. We'd love to hear your feedback on this episode of The Complete Works. And if you like what you're hearing on this podcast, we suggest that you hit the subscription button so we can deliver our episodes every week directly to you, so you can dive right in and listen to another edition of the podcast. Again, this week we're going to be looking at the film Inconceivable with Nicolas Cage. And as we do every week, we'd like to start off this episode with some trivia, if you will, regarding the movie Inconceivable. So this is the first time in 20 years that you will see Gina and Nicolas Cage together. Back in 1997, I believe it was, is when they reunited or were working for the first time with the movie Face Off. John Travolta was in that movie as well. Now, what's really interesting is originally Lindsay Lohan was set to star in this movie. But as you will find out here in a few minutes, she was replaced. So on September the 14th in 2016, director Jonathan Baker tweeted out that Lindsay Lohan, he said, "I fought for you to the very end. Sadly, the studios has the last say, and they just don't want to go in that direction," end quote. And so that was from the director, Jonathan Baker. Now, we'll talk about here in a few minutes that actually Lindsay Lohan had announced at the filming, at the Sundance Film Festival, that she was both going to produce and star in it, and that they were going to start shooting in the film that March. Well, then it was in September that, like I said, Jonathan Baker, the director, tweeted out that basically said that the studio wanted to go in a different way, but he claims that he fought to the very end to keep her in the film. So a little bit of history there. Inconceivable had numerous delays and had not yet finished pre-production stages by the time of its planned initial release on the film. So this is the third film together for Nicolas Cage and Nikki Whelan, after having appeared in the movies Dog Eat Dog back in 2016, and then again Left Behind 2014, in terms of this. What's also kind of interesting is that Natalie Eva Mary, her acting debut in a motion picture was for this movie, Inconceivable. Like I said, that was released 2017, starring Nicolas Cage. So those are some quick trivia that I wanted to talk about, as we do every week before we jump right into the movie. Some other things about the box office. It grossed only $259,000 when it was released in some select theaters back on June 30th, 2017. It was also released on video on demand at the same time. The budget for the film, interesting enough, was $12.8 million. And like I said, on that select theaters, it only made about $259,000. The running time of this is about 105 minutes. And it's starring two Academy Award winners. One is Nicolas Cage. He plays Brian. The other one is Faye Dunaway, who plays Donna. And she plays the grandmother, or Nicolas Cage's mother, in this film. Nikki Whelan plays Kate. Gina Gerson plays Angela in the film. And so it is, it was directed by Jonathan Baker, but it was also written by, Chili King was the writer of the movie. So what is this film about? What is the storyline? What's the plot, etc., of the film? And for this particular movie, Inconceivable, it's about a mysterious young lady, Kate, who is played by Nikki, and her daughter. They move to a new town to escape from the past. They then quickly become friends with Angela, and she is the mother of one who longs for a bigger family. As their lives become entwined, so you've got Angela and Brian, played by Nicolas Cage, they are doctors, and basically Katie, which is Nikki, her and her daughter moves into this town, and they become friends with Angela and Brian. And what happens is, Katie is going to be kind of like the nanny, if you will. And so they slowly start to become good friends. Angela and Brian, they eventually invite Kate to live in the guest house to serve as their nanny, like I just said. And over time, the blossoming friendship becomes that the two women's spirals into a very dangerous obsession as Kate becomes overly attached to the Morgan's daughter, which ends in lies, manipulations, etc. And then Angela and Brian realize that the sweet Kate is actually trying to destroy their family from within. So that's just a very quick overview of the film. I'm going to get more into detail with the plot of the film in just here in a few minutes. But before I go too much farther, I do want to talk a little bit about some of the quick reviews on this. Like I said, it was a very limited theater release. It went to video on demand. Unfortunately, when you start looking at some of the critics' reviews and even some of the other amateur reviews, if you will, or just plain individuals that were watching the film and doing the review, a couple things strikes out at me. And you see this periodically through throughout a lot of the reviews. One is that if you're looking for this to be a Nicolas Cage movie where he's kind of like the quote-unquote star, you're not going to get that. That is not really... I wouldn't say that he had a cameo appearance, but he's not an overpowering presence, if you will. So if you're a big Nicolas Cage fan and you think he's going to dominate 90% of the film on screen time, you're not going to get that. And I think some of the critics, but also some of the other reviews were a little disappointed that you didn't get as much Nicolas Cage as they originally had thought they were going to see in that. The other is, this kind of has a feel, and I have to agree with the critics on this, that the movie came off more like a Lifetime movie than an actual motion picture. It looked like it was shot over a couple of days instead of actually being a Hollywood production, and you get that feel. It was more a made-for-TV, I guess is what I'm trying to say, than actually for the big screen. And that was a presence that... I couldn't really put my fingers on until after I started reading some of the reviews, and I was like, that's it, exactly, in terms of that. So, just a couple food for thoughts in terms of that. When it came to Rotten Tomato reviews, it's right around 33% that was out there. I thought that was pretty standard. Some of the criticism or reviews from different websites. Again, out of 10 people, 3 out of 10 thought it was a good movie. 7 individuals thought it was lacking overall in terms of that. So before we get into my criticism of the film, let's look at kind of the plot. And let's take it at a much bigger scope than just the quick storylines of a couple sentences that I went over. So the movie starts out where there's a woman holding a baby. The woman's fighting. She ends up killing a man who we believe is her husband. We're not actually 100% sure in that, but we think it's her husband. And then we fast forward to 4 years later, where Angela, Gina, and Brian, Nicolas Cage, have a four-year-old daughter named Cora. And they seem to be a very happy, close family. Both Brian and Angela are doctors. And though Angela is to leave for to be a full-time mom, a friend of Angela's, Linda, who's played by Natalie Eva Marie, introduces Angela to Kate, or Katie, who is played by, or who is Nikki. And Katie's four-year-old daughter, Natalie, hits it off with Cora. So they're introduced, and the two kids, or the daughters, kind of hit it off immediately to one another. And then that is when Katie says that she's left an abusive husband, but does not want to elaborate, doesn't go into a lot of details, doesn't talk about the killing, and so she refuses to have her picture taken. It's this time where Brian's mother, who's played by Faye Dunaway, she, from the very beginning, doesn't like Katie at all and starts to kind of question and has that motherly instinct or that sixth sense, if you will, talking about Katie. Doesn't like her, feels like there's something wrong, but just can't quite put her finger on anything. And so then Angela confides to Katie that they've had trouble trying to conceive. So she uses one of the, an egg donor for Cora, and Angela is now pregnant again. So Katie, who is the friend, or who becomes the nanny, her and Angela start to confide in one another, and like I said, that's when Angela says that she's pregnant and she's using an egg donor for that she had used an egg donor for Cora, and she's pregnant again regarding that. So there's a miscarriage, and she's devastated about that. So she invites Katie to move into the guest house and to be a part-time nanny for the family while she's recovering. Remember, she's a doctor, and she's recovering from the miscarriage. So one night, knowing that Brian is working, or excuse me, I'm not working, but is watching, Kate steps naked into the pool. Brian becomes very uncomfortable and leaves. Angela returns home, returns to the hospital to work part-time to give her more of a purpose. And so Katie then starts to watch Cora. So remember, as you can see, Katie is starting to use that manipulation a little bit in trying to work and to get at Brian, who's the husband of Angela, and she does that by, like I said, becoming stripping down, getting naked, and jumping into the pool or getting into the pool. While Angela and Brian are gone at work, Katie is there at the house, and she uses her free time to do nothing more than to go around and start snooping around the house. Going through the belongings of both Angela and Brian's belongings, and really invasion of privacy, and really trying to get to know them in a very odd and unique way by going through all their stuff. So Angela comes home after work one day and catches Kate having sex in the guest house with whom she thinks is Brian, but it's actually a woman who is revealed to be Linda. So she thinks she's having sex with her husband, or Katie's having sex with her husband, Brian, but she's not. It was actually another woman. And so after the initial embarrassment, Angela relaxes somewhat and trusts Katie even more, not believing she would ever do anything that would go against Brian or has even any interest in Brian. So she kind of relaxes and believes that everything's going to be all right. Linda excitedly tells Katie that Angela is going to ask Linda to be her surrogate, but Katie can barely hide how upset it is for her, I should add. Apparently, Angela has one embryo left from the same donor that Cora was conceived from, and she wants to use that so the two can be full siblings, not just half siblings, but full siblings coming from the same donor. So Katie confides to Linda that she is the donor and that her daughter Maddie is also hers, but born from a mother that was from Maine. Katie adopted abducted, Maddie as a baby because the mother didn't want to take care of her, and now she's worried that Cora is not getting enough attention either and wants to take her as well. So she drowns Linda in the lake, and the couple later finds her body. So Katie is then going to murder or kill or drown Linda. She was the one that she was having sex with in the bed when Angela came home thinking that Katie was in bed with Brian, but wasn't. So we look at this and we look a little bit later and we realize that 4 months later, Katie is carrying Angela and Brian's baby, and unknown to them, her own baby. Donna asks Angela what Katie gets out of it. Angela says Katie will be paid for $40,000, and that is she's doing what anybody else would be doing. It is revealed in a flashback that Katie, whose real name is Tara, can no longer have her own children. So Katie starts acting stranger and stranger. She's more delusional in the process. And then Angela catches Katie lying to a mother in the park, saying that both of the girls are hers and that they're twin daughters. Angela becomes suspicious. At this time, Brian, a.k.a. Nicolas Cage, says everything will be fine when the baby comes, after which Katie will move on with her life down the road. So fast forward a couple more months later, Angela and Brian tell Katie they are getting a full-time nanny, and this really makes Katie upset. She's angry and accuses them of wanting a complete stranger to kind of raise their children, so she becomes very attached to the family and believes that they're just kind of like throwing her out and wanting some complete stranger to raise a family. And how could they do that? How could Cora or the baby, the new baby, be raised by strangers, that she needs to be the one that's going to be taking care and nurturing them? Brian then defends her and says she's just has different beliefs than them. It becomes clear that to Angela and Brian that they are not happy anymore. And Angela suspects Katie is planning to keep the baby into disappearing, so that she wants to kidnap the baby after it's has been born. She also accuses her of killing Linda because she wanted it for herself, meaning the child. And then Katie fakes early labor pains. Brian is furious with Angela and thinks she's off from medication, starting to lose her mind, etc. So the next morning when Brian goes to work, remember he's a doctor, so he's going to the hospital to work, and Katie is sleeping in the girl's bed in the main house. Angela sneaks into the guest house to snoop and discovers Katie's secret, for confirming that she is not all there, that she's kind of mentally ill, and she was a previous donor. Angela gets a DNA test for the girls, but realizes that Katie has drugged her and rushes home, and when she confronts Katie, Katie admits everything and stabs herself in the stomach, possibly harming the baby. Katie says she will tell everyone that Angela tried to kill her. It is at that point that Katie is taken to the ER and has an emergency C-section. And then there's a healthy baby boy that is named Gabriel, who is then born. But it is later revealed that the DNA test came back and showed that Maddie and Cora were related to each other and to Katie, meaning that Angela had told the truth the whole time. It also is revealed that she killed Maddie's parents before abducting her, claiming her as her own. In the end, Katie is locked up. Angela, Brian, Maddie, Cora, and the baby Gabriel, remember that's the new baby, baby boy, is now a happy family. So instead of three, there's five of them. That's kind of a quick and dirty version of the movie Inconceivable. Like I said, it was less of a feel of a motion picture and more of a feel made-for-TV movie, if anything. Again, it was really the women that the movie centered around. If you're a diehard Nicolas Cage fan thinking that you're going to see Nicolas Cage in 90% of the movie, like I said previously, you're going to be greatly disappointed, because that is not what this film is about. Nicolas Cage plays more of a laid back, I shouldn't say really laid back, but more of a supporting role than really a role that is front and center for this one. I'm sitting here trying to think, where would I rank this movie? I think it was a little harsher. I think the critics were a little harsher than some of the other critics that I was reading out there. Like I said, Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 3 out of a 10. I would say that it was more a 4. I wouldn't say that it was a 3. Again, it wasn't one of Nicolas Cage's best work. It seems like here the last several movies that we've been reviewing a Nicolas Cage, that he was going more for the quick bucks to turn out a movie than going for the quality of the movie. And this is no exception. It's an interesting concept, inconceivable. But again, it just didn't feel like it was the motion picture that you were hoping for or wanted to see. It was more of a rushed operation. I think some of that might have been from the fact that it had so many delays when they were going in production. It seemed like it took forever to get the production off the ground. And like I said earlier, they were still working on some of the film, hadn't even really got it finished, and they were trying to have a release date in terms of that. One other thing that I really want to say about this is Faye Dunaway, Academy Award winner. What is really interesting about this is that they were getting ready to shoot in October the 10th of 2016 and was supposed to last for 3.5 weeks, but it was reduced to 15 days. Now, keep that in mind, because when I told you just a few minutes ago, that's why I kind of got the idea or the feel that it was kind of a rush. So they're taking 3.5 weeks and really compounded it down into 15 days. Now, Faye Dunaway broke her legs just a few days before filming was to begin. But Baker, and remember, Baker, Jonathan Baker, was the director of the film. He refused to recast the role. He wanted Faye Dunaway, and so he got Faye Dunaway. It was then written for her, and so when Chloe King was writing it and Jonathan Baker was, you know, directing it, they had Faye Dunaway in mind. They actually wrote the role for her, and Jonathan was not going to change that or recast that. Okay, so like I said, she broke her leg a few days. He had written this piece for her, so he refused to put anybody else in there. But they did rewrite her part so she would be able to perform sitting down instead of standing up. So something else you want to take a look at this film, and when you see Faye Dunaway in this, she has a broken leg, and everything that she's doing is sitting down in there. She went on to say she was in so much pain, and she came to the set, she worked, did her work, and she did what she needed to do because she's an Oscar winner. She's a great actress, and this is a small comeback role that was basically written in 12 hours for her so it would flow with the script. And so that's what Jonathan Baker was doing. I really think he had admiration for Faye Dunaway. She was a quality actress. She was a professional actress in the sense that even though she was in great pain, broke her leg, she was still going to perform and make sure that this job was taken care of. And so, to me, when I know a little bit more about the behind the scenes, when it comes to the production of things, to me, that's why I want to give this film a little bit higher than maybe what some critics were going to give it. So for myself, I'm going to give it a 4 out of a 10 in terms of that. Like I said, it wasn't Nicolas Cage's best film. I thought it could have been a lot better. It seemed rushed. And right there, I told you that something that was going to be done in 3.5 weeks really was compound to 15 days. And not to overplay, but Faye Dunaway does an excellent job of being a professional, and even though she was in great pain, still was able to make sure that she did her role, and that was to have that supporting role in Inconceivable in terms of that. Well, that is the conclusion of this week's edition of The Complete Works. I'd like to thank you for listening to this episode of The Complete Works, Inconceivable, starring Nicolas Cage, Faye Dunaway. You can find more of my work on film-book.com. Again, that's film-book.com. Just search for Doug Hess or The Complete Works. You can also find me on Twitter at HessDoug14. Again, that's HessDoug14. If you listen to this podcast on iTunes or another podcast service, please rate and review this episode. If you're listening to the podcast on your YouTube channel, Film Book Podcast, please like our video, subscribe to our video, subscribe to the channel, leave us a comment in the comment section. Tune in next time when I review and analyze the next Nicolas Cage film. We'd like to thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. Take care. But Bernie is able to provide the confidence in him, and then this is when Elton writes the lyrics of the song, I'm Still Standing, and he then returns to a successful career. What we find at the end of the film is some subtitles informing the viewers that Elton John has been sober for over 28 years now, but he still has one problem. And if you remember what I was talking about, he was talking about that he had a problem with alcohol, cocaine, shopping, and sex. All that has really been cleared up except for one addiction, and he admits to this day that he still has a problem with shopping. And that's probably not going to be something that's going to be fixed in the near term. He still remains good friends with Bernie, but Elton John is now married to David Furnish, and they also have two children together in terms of that. So that's kind of a quick a review of the film. I'm taking some notes when I was watching the film so I could make sure that I captured it as best that I could. A couple things that I would say in terms of this. Rotten Tomato had an 89% when it came to the viewers' view. I thought it was a good movie, and I thought that Taron did a very good job of recreating as much as one could of Elton John's life. However, I would say that last year, Bohemian Rhapsody was, I thought, a little stronger film than Rocketman. And I know I'm trying to compare to some degree apples to apples, I thought that was a little bit stronger biopic slash musical. Even though I really enjoyed Rocketman, I thought it was well done. But I would say that of the two, Bohemian Rhapsody was a stronger performance. Having said that, I would say that I would give it about an 85 on Rocketman. And again, Taron Egerton does a wonderful job of portraying Elton John. And I personally believe that he really took Elton's advice and was allowed to make this movie his own. Even though that he was interpreting a life of Elton John's, Taron went out, really made it his own, and was it was a good film. And I thought he did a wonderful job. I would strongly encourage anybody to go see the movie if they haven't seen it. But I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, definitely it was an 8. If I had to actually give it an official grade, I'd give it about an 85. Solid film, solid impersonation of Elton John, or interpretation, I should say, of Elton John and his life. So overall, great film. Strongly would recommend that you get a chance to, whether you go out and own it or have a chance to watch it with a friend, definitely do that, because I don't think you'll be disappointed in Rocket Man, starring Taron Egerton, and it's the biopic or musical fantasy of Elton John in terms of that. Well, we've reached the end of our, or the conclusion of this review. What we'd like for you to do, we'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear, listen from our audience, and let us know what your thoughts are yourself of Rocket Man. And we'd also like to know your thoughts of how you thought this review went. You can put your comments below and leave them. We'd love to read them, have that feedback in terms of that. If you like this video, hit the like button, subscribe to our channel, and then select the bell icon so that when there is a new episode out there, you'll be automatically notified when new reviews are being published. And like I said, we'd like to hear your feedback. We'd love to hear what you thought of the movie. What were some things that you enjoyed of it? Maybe some things that you didn't care for as much. But we'd like to hear your feedback. Obviously, we'd like to hear your feedback of what you thought of my review of the movie. You can find more of my work on film-book.com. Again, that's film-book.com. Or you can just search under Doug Hess. Or on Twitter, you can find me at HessDoug14. Again, that's HessDoug14 on Twitter. I also host, like I mentioned earlier, the Complete Works podcast over on iTunes and Spotify. You'll find those links below in the subscription as well, and take you to those pages respectfully over on the Complete Works. Right now we're working through the film history of Nicolas Cage, so we would encourage you to tune in and get our reviews on that. Until next time, we'd like to again thank you for watching, and we'd love to hear your feedback. So happy movie going until we meet again. Thank you. Is a chairman of the Second Watch, an organization of survivors and their families. Joe Lantern and his co-chair, Mario Bullard, stayed in contact with the producers during pre-production and were welcomed to the set during the photography. Then on May the 13th, 2015, it was revealed that Tom Sizemore, Thomas Jane, and Brian Presley would also join the cast for the film. In terms of that, on July the 15th, 2015, Cody Walker was cast in the film to play one of the crewmen aboard the ship, and like I said, that was his acting debut in terms of that. See here, principal photography on the film began on June the 19th, 2015 in Mobile, Alabama, with many of the scenes shot aboard the battleship USS Alabama, which I discussed earlier, that was to take place or be a, to be in place of the Indianapolis. Filming also took place in San Francisco and over in Japan, but the producers later opted to double Mobile for both San Francisco and Japan in terms of that. And then on June the 27th, 2015, filming was underway in Orange Beach in terms of that for the film. After filming on July the 14th in downtown Mobile, Cage, Nicolas Cage met a real Navy veteran named Richard Stevens on a beach at Pinneville Square. Stevens was one of the survivors of the ship USS Indianapolis. So Cage and Stevens had a long talk about the disaster, and I'm sure got a much deeper appreciation for the story and the events that those brave individuals went through. Again, what a terrible tragedy in history, and I just can't imagine what it would have been like floating in the ocean for 5 days, with no food, with no water, no protection from the sun. Oh, and by the way, I'm surrounded by sharks that want to eat me because of everybody's injuries and the blood, et cetera, in terms of that. So overall, like I said, personally, I'm going to give this film a 6 out of a 10. One, just because I'm a little partial to history, but at the same time, I think it's a great story to tell. One thing I'm not too keen on is, but I understand why people do it. I understand why Hollywood does it, is to kind of bring the love story in the mix. I get it. It sells tickets. It's something that they want, they need. I get that. It is what it is in terms of that. Okay. Well, I'd like to thank everyone for listening to this episode of The Complete Works. We were discussing the film The USS Indianapolis, Men of Courage, starring Nicolas Cage, that was released in 2016. You can find out more of my work on film-book.com. You can search my name, Doug Hess, or you can search The Complete Works. You can find me on Twitter at HessDoug14. And we thank you for listening. We encourage you, if you like what you've heard, to subscribe so we can have the podcast sent to you directly. And again, if you have any comments, you feel free to email us at podcast@film-book.com. Again, that's podcast@film-book.com. In the subject line, you can put in The Complete Works, you can put in The USS Indianapolis, Men of Courage, or any of the other films that we're talking about. Again, we strongly encourage you to hit the subscription button. And until next week on The Complete Works, have a great week, everyone, and we'll talk to you next week. That the audience was more willing to give the praise to the actor or actresses in the movie, but was a little standoffish when it came to the actual film in terms of that. The audience polled by CinemaScore gave the film an average grade of A, on an A+ to an F. However, Stone works best when it's just Edward and the three journalists in the hotel room sweating it out, because they were deciding what they were going to release, when they were going to release it, etc., in terms of that. But for the actual material of the film, I think a lot of people, like I said, were just a little standoffish or a little squeamish. Now, let's fast forward to 2019, and with the current political climate that is out there, I'm not so sure that this film wouldn't get a much stronger praise from some of the critics when you're looking at the actual material, not the acting, but the message that's there. I think you'd probably have things a little bit different today in 2019 versus 2016, but I could be wrong on that. And again, like I said, I don't want to make this about politics. This is not the podcast for that. And if you're looking for that, there's other podcasts for you to join. I just want to stay with the entertainment value when it comes to with movies and Nicolas Cage or the complete works in general of whoever that we're talking about, an actor, actress, director, composer, etc. And let you, the audience, come up with your own thoughts and take on that. Okay? Well, that wraps up another edition of The Complete Works. If you have listened to this podcast on iTunes or another podcast service, please, we encourage you to rate and review this episode. If you're listening to this podcast on the YouTube channel, Film Book Podcast, please like us, our video, and subscribe to our channel. Leave us a comment in the comment section. We'd love to hear from you. And we just ask that you tune in next time when we review and analyze the next Nicolas Cage film. We want to thank you for listening. And again, if you like what you hear, please hit subscribe so we can have future editions of the podcast, The Complete Works, sent directly to you. Love to hear from you as well. Send us an email if you have any thoughts, comments, or concerns. And you can do that at podcast@film-book.com, and in the subject line, put in The Complete Works, Snowden, or any of the other other movies that we have been reviewing. And we hope to See you next time. So again, thanks for listening to The Complete Works. This has been an episode on Nicolas Cage, and the movie that we reviewed for Nicolas Cage was Snowden. So until next time, take care.